You may be seated. Now, as I mentioned to the children a few moments ago, I'm going to use a word that is not in our text, but actually follows our text. And it's not tool. That was for them. I've got a different one for you guys. A good tree can only bear good fruit. And a bad tree can only bear bad fruit. That's what Jesus would say later in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7. But the same is also true regarding light bulbs. A good light bulb can do nothing but shine, and a bad bulb cannot shine. As you know, when you flip a light switch from off to on, electricity is moved into the light bulb so that it lights up, so that it shines. The bulb has no choice. When the electricity is put into it, it shines. So also we, brothers and sisters in Christ, have no choice but to be righteous and produce the works of righteousness. The electricity of the gospel has been proclaimed to us, and we have no choice but to bear his light. The light that Jesus shines exposes the good and the bad alike. It shows how the world and all in it attempt to justify themselves before God by their works. Worst of all, those who claim to bear the name of Christ yet do not proclaim the fullness of the law. They are those who make a big show of doing works, but limit the law in order to live according to it. That is, they say, oh, all you have to do is this. It doesn't mean you have to do all of that. You just have to do this. But that's not what God says in his law. He wants you to do the law to the fullness, to do it perfectly. And that law then shines on us and exposes that we are not of ourselves capable to do this. This is what the Pharisees were doing at the time of our Lord Jesus, and this is what the Roman Catholic Church taught at the time of Martin Luther and continues to teach up to this day. As though somehow doing a Hail Mary or kissing a stair could somehow make a payment for a sin committed. So we are called in our gospel text this morning twice, in two different ways, to live out our righteousness, the righteousness that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteousness which cannot be hidden. We live these ways so that those living in darkness, in the darkness of false teaching, might come into the light, turn, repent, and be saved. And so that those around us might give glory to our Father, who is in heaven. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." When Jesus spoke these words, people who were well versed in the text of the day, the Old Testament, they might have thought of the book of Leviticus, specifically chapter 2. In chapter 2 of Leviticus, the people are told to put salt on their grain offering. Even back in those days, salt was used as a preservative. And so it helped the people to know that God would preserve them, that he would preserve them through the coming Messiah, and he continues to preserve us through the Messiah who has come, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God commanded the Israelites would put that salt on there to remind them of his preserving them as the children of Abraham. This was ultimately completed in Jesus' teaching in our gospel text, as well as in the rest of his life and teaching here on earth. Today, we are called to be the ones who speak Christ's words and to preserve people. Of ourselves, we cannot hope to do this. It is like the ministry or any other part of our lives. We could not hope to live up to God's commands of ourselves. We would fail and fail and fail again. God has laid out his will for us in such a way that it is thorough and complete. It is so thorough and complete that none of us, not one of us, could do it. Of ourselves, we can only admit that we fail to live as God desires. Yet that is why God sent not only his Son to die for us, but also sent us his Holy Spirit. Every day, his Holy Spirit works in us through his word. Through the word that you remember from that lectern, from this pulpit, and from your daily devotions in God's word. The Spirit works through that word so that you might live as God desires. Granted, It won't be perfectly. Even Paul said, those things I want to do, I don't do, and those things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. But the Spirit does work in you nonetheless. And he uses us jars of clay to proclaim his good news. The Holy Spirit uses that word so that you can believe in Christ as your Savior and to proclaim him as everyone's Savior. The necessary result of your believing in Jesus is that you will not only be a good tree producing good fruits, but that you will be salty. You will preserve your neighbors, your friends, your family, and all of those around you by speaking God's word. Again, you cannot do this of yourself. That is impossible. But with God, your saltiness is restored so that you might live as he desires from day to day. But not only are you trees and salt or tools, as I mentioned to the kids, but you are also a light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. As we go about salting the earth, we are also a light. That's right. There's only one light, that of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not as the world says that there are several ways or several lights to get to heaven. There is only one, that one being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and him alone. It is dangerous to take away part of the scriptures, and it is presumptuous to add to them. And yet so many other so-called lights in the world do just that. But no, Jesus says that you are a light. And from where do you receive your light? The same place from which you receive your saltiness, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and him crucified and risen for you. We shine here at Augsburg, Illinois. But at the same time, our brothers and sisters throughout this nation and even throughout the world also shine that same light, that light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Together we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. The Holy Spirit works in our brothers and sisters as he does in us, so that we make a united light with the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through us, his light shines so that all other lights are proven to be false lights. Christ's light shines the most and shines the brightest, proving other lights to be false. And by that same light and that same salt, our friends and our neighbors and our family are preserved in God's gospel saving message. Then they can come and join us as we shine together the light of Christ before the world. Yet none of us shines our light for our own glory. If it was for my glory, it would be of no effect. If it was for your glory, it would be of no effect. Even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. He served each of us by going to the cross, but ultimately he was serving his Father who is in heaven. And in the same way, you, when you are serving and living as the Spirit guides and directs you, are living not to yourselves, not to your neighbors, but that others might see and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Once more, we cannot be trees, we cannot be salty, we cannot shine with the light of Christ. We can do none of those things if the last part of our text had not happened. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He fulfilled the law in your place and in my place, because we were unable to do that of ourselves. The Pharisees and even some false teachers today claim to be able to live God's law without sinning, either before or even after coming to faith. But Jesus knew better. He warns that one iota, one dot, will not be removed from the law. And so that law is so thorough and complete, none of us can live it completely. Not us, not the ones who claim to do it, not the Pharisees who claim to be able to do it. None of us are able to do it. The Pharisees and others tried to make it easier by removing parts or adding things that they enjoy doing, and others don't, won't, or can't. So at the end, Jesus said the righteousness of those who follow him must exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes. The only way that that is possible is either for us to do it or for someone to do it for us. And Jesus did. He would continue to live his life fulfilling every iota and every dot of the law in his life, death, and resurrection so that he can give that righteousness to you so that you might be justified. He gave us his righteousness and his Holy Spirit both so that we might be justified and sanctified through him. You and I are justified. We know where we are going. At the same time, we receive the Spirit of God from the Father and from the Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might be good trees producing good fruit, salt preserving others in the world, and a gospel light to the nations, starting with our own. In Jesus, our righteousness not only exceeds that of the Pharisees and scribes, but it cannot be hidden. In Jesus' name, amen.